Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of the I Want More Action podcast. Please go to our website, www.iwantmoreaction.com. Listen to all our episodes there of our podcast. We review tons of different action movies. Just click a movie, and on the page, there'll be a play button, and you can listen to our review of that movie. What movie are we doing today, Frank?
Well, today, Chris, we are doing The Debt Collector. And The Debt Collector is a classically trained martial artist goes to work as a mob debt collector. The job seems easy enough until a client drags him into a situation deeper than he could ever anticipated.
This came out in 2018, directed by Jesse V. Johnson, and it starred Scott Atkins and Tony Todd as our two main stars that people know in this movie. So what do you think of The Debt Collector, Frank?
As a movie, I like The Debt Collector. I think it has a pretty good script. It has pretty good cinematography.
It's filmed well.
It's good acting. The two main stars are really good in it. Again, Tony Todd's always good. It's a bad guy, I think he does, really. As far as the action goes in this movie, it's average. It's average. Yeah. It's nothing special, but it's not bad. A lot of scenes are brawling action scenes. There's not a lot of martial arts fight scenes in this. There's no weapon combat scenes either. There's very, very little gun action in it. It's mostly just kind of MMA boxing brawling fight scenes, which again, they're not great, but they're not horrible either, because you could tell the director knows how to film a fight scene, and of course it has Scott Atkins in it, so like he knows how to fight. In the end, it's just nothing special. It's nothing to get really excited about.
Well, one thing I thought was that Scott Atkins, he gets to show a lot of personality in this movie that he normally doesn't get to show in a lot of his other films.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely.
A lot of banter with the other star. I use the word star loosely. The other actor.
Yeah, he's in a ton of films, but star, yes. Star is a big word.
The character's name is Sue, and Scott Atkins' name is Frenchie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, they interact a lot the whole movie together. The whole movie.
Yes, yeah.
It basically takes place over 2 days.
Yes, and that's really where the draw of this film is. It's them two. It's like their little adventure they go on together and their interactions with one another, which is what I like most about it, too, because I feel like you get a lot out of the two. Like you said, going back to Scott Atkins' acting, it's actually one of his better acted films. I think the chemistry he had with Sue was really, really good. It's like this is a rare case where like I actually empathize with like Scott Atkins. Like I felt the guy is just down on his luck and he needs money and like this is just a job he can do. Like he's just a desperate guy as opposed to like him being forced into a situation beyond his control. So he's choosing to do this and he has sort of a bit of a moral.
He's not like a cop or a spy or a soldier.
Yeah, or like his son's not kidnapped or like his girlfriend's not kidnapped or killed or whatever, going out for revenge. Like so it makes him feel more human. It makes you kind of like almost like relate more to the character.
I also, another thing I thought was that the storyline-wise, the pacing of the story is really good. Like, it has some goofy parts, which I think is just due to the movie trying to be an action comedy.
Yeah.
But some of the parts, like, they weren't, like, comedically funny. They were more, like, just, like, goofy funny, and you're like, that's kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Overall, the movie, it does have some laughs in it, which I thought was good for a Scott Atkins film.
Which usually has no comedy whatsoever.
No, exactly.
Like, really none. And this actually had a fairly, again, for Scott Atkins' film, a fairly decent amount of comedy.
You're not going to roll off your chair laughing, but, like,
no,
you get a smirk out of yourself every once in a while.
There's, like, actual comic relief in this film.
Yes.
As opposed to, like, the tried comic relief he has in most of his films, where, like, it's somebody doing a dumb joke out of nowhere, where it feels forced. Like, that's the thing, nothing in this movie feels forced. It feels pretty natural for both the characters and their dialogue and their motivation.
A lot of the comedy comes from the dialogue, their banter, which is
the interaction between them two, really, with them in the car together, you know? And, it was interesting to kind of also see Scott Atkins not play, he's the lead, but, like, he's not the experienced person in the movie.
Yeah.
It's this other guy, Sue, kind of, so he's kind of taking it more of a rookie seat, which is interesting, because usually, he's usually front and center the whole time, so it's nice to see him in more of, like, I guess, like, a vulnerable position, one where he's not, like, the hero. Well, he is, but, like, not the ultimate hero of the movie.
And, besides maybe one scene, Scott Atkins handles pretty much all the action in the movie, though.
He does, yeah.
There's one fight where Sue fights in the street when he fights that guy, but pretty much all the action's handled by Scott Atkins in the film.
Yeah, and it's also done for, like, part of the plot of the movie, too. Like, you see, like, it's played into the reads, like the characters and what they kind of go through and everything.
Which is interesting, but obviously Scott Atkins is the stuntman and the action star of this movie, and you could tell, like, his role was probably written for him. because it was written in a way where he gets all the action scenes and it's actually part of the plot, why it's happening.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think, and so it was written for him because they were able to balance that out. They were like, okay, Scott, you're going to be the guy who's doing most of the action here, and the guy who plays Sue, he's just going to do more of like the character development of the movie, really. You know, they kind of like traded off on that because he definitely has more of like, I guess, like a darker past or like a darker motivation for it. Like, Scott, I can just know, like, the guy has a dojo that's running out of money, he's going broke, he needs the quick cash to like stay afloat. But this other person definitely has like a more mysterious and darker past to him.
What I found interesting is something we talked about before we went on air was that, you know, Scott Adkins owns a dojo, and besides the first fight in the dojo, he just like, it's like he forgets that he knows martial arts the rest of the movie and just brawls everybody.
Yeah, he fights MMA style the rest of the movie.
Yes, yes.
It's very, very much of a brawling style of MMA. And like, yeah, I think it's because the people he's fighting aren't martial artists.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons.
So try not to.
Fights a lot of like big guys in this movie.
Just big dudes. Literally, he just fights a bunch of big dudes. Like, that's, and I think like that's a, it's a little bit different for him because most of his movies, he might fight big dudes, but usually it's a mix of like martial artists and like one big guy.
Yeah.
In this movie, like you said, everybody he fights is just a big dude. Which
actually, even that becomes part of the plot towards the end where he's like, does everyone have a friggin' bodyguard?
Yeah, exactly. It's more of a joke, exactly. Which kind of does work, I guess, because it's supposed to be more of like a realistic movie. And that is kind of what would happen in real life. Like if you were a debt collector or hunting up, they probably would have big dudes protecting them, right? So like, it does make sense. And I guess it gives you a little bit of different flavor of what Scott Adkins can do. But this is not like, it's not quote unquote impressive.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
You know,
he's not using his agility, skills as a martial artist in this movie.
Yes.
But he is using his skills as a stuntman.
Exactly.
Fights are pretty brutal.
Yes. Like no, there's a lot of stunt work.
Yes.
There's more stunt work in action than anything else.
It's funny because Scott Adkins is a big guy, but these guys that he's fighting, like, these guys are huge.
They purposely found people like twice the size of Scott Adkins. These guys are like 6'5", like 300 pounds.
Like professional wrestler big.
Yes, they're huge. These guys are gigantic, and again, that's why I think it works. Like the fighting works in the movie, like, in the universe of the movie.
Yeah.
It works for like what they're doing, but like. Again, if you're a Scott Adkins fan and you're watching this, I don't think you'll dislike the movie, but I do think you may have wanted a little bit more out of the fight scenes on Scott Adkins' side because we know what he's capable of doing, but again, keeping in theme with the film, I think they kept it together or they kept it on theme, I should say.
So let me ask you a question: what do you think about in this movie Scott Adkins' turn to more of a comedic role in his career? Do you think he plays it off well?
You know, Scott Adkins, he can play sarcastic. He can be sarcastic. I think that's his main strong point when it comes to being comedic. Is I don't think he can be funny in ways where like other people, like other action stars, can be funny.
Yeah.
But like he can be sarcastic to where like he can have good one-liners and he can have good like even the way he would look at Sue a couple of times was pretty funny. Like he's good in certain elements of like usually it's with sarcasm. He can work really well in with the right script and dialogue, but like that's probably about it. I don't see him like, you know. I just think that the most directors don't play him for laughs, so they don't put him in scenes. They don't cut the camera. They don't edit it around a joke for Scott Adkins. It's almost like they're probably afraid of making him too funny because they want to keep him like serious. So usually there's always somebody else in the movie who like is the comic relief. But in this, he seems to almost be the comic relief in this one.
I think watching this, I was watching and I'm like, you know what? He has more range than, say, Michael Jai White, right?
Yes, yeah.
Like Michael Jai White, he's zero range. He's just tough and that's it.
That's it. He's a hard ass. That's it.
Yeah. And like even when he does try to be funny or sarcastic, like it's just like wow,
it falls
like
flat.
You're just watching it, like, you know what I mean?
Flat. You know, it falls completely flat. Yes, yeah.
But in this, like I feel Scott Adkins is able to make a little bit more of a joke of himself and make himself look foolish on the camera. But like someone like say a Bruce Willis or a Michael Jai White doesn't want to do things like that on the camera.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell
in an action film. Bruce Willis will do it in a comedy and stuff, but in an action film, you're not going to make Bruce Willis look stupid.
Well, he won't even take the risk of a joke that unless he knows it's like, again, same thing with Bruce Willis. He only can do sarcastic humor.
Yeah,
he can't do anything else. If it's not sarcastic, he can't really pull it off because of that. He's afraid of looking goofy. But at least Scott Adkins is like he's willing to like stretch it a little bit and say, okay, you know what, this joke might not be the best, but you know what, like this could work. But I do think he has more charisma. I think that's what it is. I think he has a lot of charisma. Maybe not more than like Bruce Willis, but like,
he definitely has more than say someone like who won't make a joke out of himself, like Steven Seagal.
Yes, exactly.
Steven Seagal will never do something on camera
ever.
But you know, he doesn't have that faith in his own acting ability.
But he will make hilarious movies.
Yeah, for but the he wrong thinks they're good though.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, they're hilarious. People will laugh at his films. He thinks they're good, but he won't ever, like you said. Except for like Machete, whatever it was, where he played.
But Machete, but you're never gonna get him to dress in, say, drag. You know what I'm making?
Yes. You're not gonna get him to do like any kind of like, tongue-in-cheek film. He's kind of, it's an action movie, but like it's an action comedy or something, like where he's trying to like be kind of like the dad or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're never gonna see him do anything other than what he does in all his.
But Scott Atkins, like you said, he has more self-awareness. He knows how he looks on camera, and he knows that like. Even if he makes a goofy movie with a goofy part like this, well, not totally goofy, but more open and a little more comedic. Next month he can make another ninja, and you'll be like, holy shit, he's a badass.
Yes, it's not gonna take away from like his reputation, I guess, as an action movie star. I think a lot of them worry about that because they're afraid that now they're not gonna get called. But it's like Scott Atkins, dude, like almost all the movies we've been watching with him, he's always the executive producer. So he just puts himself like in his own movies, basically. You know what I mean? Like he obviously hires a director, he hires the people. Like, so I don't think he'll ever go anywhere in terms of like making these kind of movies. Like, he'll just put himself in his own movies. I think Michael J. White probably tried to do the same thing. I don't know if he was the exec producer in Welcome to Sudden Death. I wouldn't be surprised if he was, because
we could have just been a producer on it.
That's what I mean.
So maybe his production company produced it. Yeah,
exactly. So I think a lot of these people, like at this point in the game, it's like you can make these low budget action films on your own. Like themselves, I'm saying, like with a few other producers, you don't need Hollywood anymore. And I think that's why they don't. I think that's a problem though, because I think that's why Michael Jai White doesn't step outside his comfort zone. He doesn't have to. He'll just make his kind of movie. Think of Scott Atkins. He doesn't have to step outside
even,
his comfort
even
zone.
Even Seagal, he'll just produce. Seagal. He produces his own crap.
Exactly. I don't have to do anything different. I don't take chances. Mm-hmm. I just keep doing what I'm doing. Even if it's bad, it's like what's safe is it's safe for him. So he knows what he's gonna get.
People like us still even if it's bad, we still watch it.
Exactly.
Because it's still a new action film to watch.
Exactly. And if they're all the same, at the end of the day, it's like we're still gonna watch them. You know, they might take a chance, but they're like, but why? You know, because like again, Scott Atkins is never gonna be like a comedic actor. You know, like sure, his movies might have comedy in it, but he's never gonna be like anything other than what he is. You know, like, he knows what he is. He knows what he can do well, and he just kind of sticks to it, which is not a bad thing.
But that's one of the best things that I do like about Scott Atkins is. Especially in his fighting ability, he knows in his head exactly how he looks on camera doing things.
Yes,
and that's why even his bad fights still look great.
Yeah, like even if the choreograph feels like a bit muddy and like not too precise, and it kind of feels like oh they probably didn't block this out properly, he still looks good doing it because he's done it so much. He's so trained in it that it just him at like half speed is still way better than most other action fighters.
And you know, like someone like Michael Jai White, I feel like he's great, and I love watching his action film, but he doesn't have the same awareness that someone like he's good, but after watching Welcome to Sudden Death, I feel like he doesn't have the awareness that someone like Scott Atkins has of how he looks on camera.
Yeah, he's really stiff.
Yeah,
he's really stiff.
You don't edit him properly, he's very stiff.
Yeah, he's stiff. Like you can tell, he telegraphs every movie he's gonna do. Mm-hmm. And like, so you know... as an audience, what he's gonna do, and that's what makes his fight scenes not as exciting, because you're kind of like you kind of know where he's going with it. So again, that's where we have that problem with like he has to fight people who already know the kick's coming, and it looks like that. Like it doesn't look like he's actually fighting anybody as much as they're just catching his kicks and punches.
But there are movies like Falcon Rising, which we're eventually gonna review. It's a couple of years old, but the action's so well done in that movie. But don't forget. The director has a lot to do, and the editor has a lot to do with how they make him look. Mm-hmm. And also, the other stuntmen are a big part of these things.
Yeah. If you can have, and again, the other main big problem with Welcome to Sudden Death is that the other stuntmen are not stuntmen. They're just like actors.
Exactly.
They're just regular actors. If they are stuntmen, they're like the most untrained, inexperienced stuntmen there are.
I think that's a huge difference. If Welcome to Sudden Death had fights like The Debt Collector, it might have been a better movie, because the people in The Debt Collector are not obviously not stuntmen either.
No, they're not, they look like just big guys.
They're just big people.
But they probably have some bit of, like, at least they look like they're more in shape, and they look more intimidating, and they can handle themselves in a real fight.
But they don't look, you can tell, like, they did what they do, the brawling and stuff, but they're not going to look good on camera trying to fight.
Like, especially that scene where they're fighting in in the street. Like, you can tell the guys that are fighting, they're, like, just big dudes. Like, you, like, there's one guy, I think, like, he's in a velour
suit.
Big dudes
in windbreakers.
In like, a velour suit. Like, he ain't throwing no kicks.
No,
like,
no.
He's not, you know what I mean? Like, he's not doing backflips or whatever. That's not how these guys are fighting. They're not capable of doing those things. So, but you know, it is what it is, but at least it's not terrible. The fight scenes, like, they're not amazing, because again, Skylykins holds back a lot, but they're not bad. I do think that fighting, it's shot fairly well and it's edited fairly well too.
Yeah,
like how it's edited together in the end.
But so we're gonna take a 5-second break, and then we're gonna break down all the action in this movie, which, you know, it's kind of all over the place, but we'll get to it in a second. Mm-hmm. Be right back. Welcome back, everyone. So let's start breaking down the action in the Debt Collector. So what do you think of the fights?
The fights, I enjoyed the fights in this. I don't think I enjoyed them more than some of his other films. But I give the fights a 3 out of 5. I felt like they were good enough to be enjoyable, but they weren't good enough to be memorable. You know, I think that's my main problem with this movie, with the fighting in this movie, is that it's good enough to watch and enjoy the film itself, but it's not good enough that I want to go back and rewatch really any of those scenes afterwards. Where normally, that's kind of the telltale sign of a really good action film, is that you're dying to go back and just rewatch a scene or two again.
I also gave it a 3 out of 5. I thought, like, while you're watching the movie, like, it doesn't take you out of the movie. The brawls are fun.
Yeah.
But they all kind of mesh together, and I can't really remember the differences between them at all. Like,
yeah.
If you asked me what move happened in what fight, I could not tell you.
Yeah, there's no like specific moves or like stunt pieces. I mean, there's a lot of stunt work, but there's no specific set piece, like stunt set piece, that you remember from any of those fight scenes.
It's,
like,
except, oh, except, wow, the one where he's getting, like, thrown through the walls and stuff, which is the only one I remember.
Yeah, the one where he's in the car dealership.
It looked like some type of dealership,
like a
thing.
Realtor or something like that.
Broker. Yeah. I forgot what he was. Yeah.
Yeah. But yes.
For shootouts, I gave it a 2 out of 5. There's a shootout at the end, which is, it's a fun shootout, but the whole shootout was in slow motion, so it took a lot away from, like, I took a lot. I was almost going to give it a 1, but, you know, there was a lot of squib work and stuff, which I thought was cool, and I liked the practical effects in the shootout, so I ended up giving it a 2.
Yeah, I gave it a 2 as well, but I just think, like, it's a point to me, though, that this is heavily not a gun or weapon combat movie. Like, there's no weapon fight. It's only gunfight at the very end. It's even a point made that, like, they're intimidated because the bad guys have guns. Like, they never use guns, these two guys. And so, like, it's the movie's not really about gun action. It's almost a plot device at the end to up the stakes, really. And like Chris, like, said, like, it's almost all in slow motion. It looks cool, though. Like, it's filmed fairly well. But, yeah, it's nothing to get excited about. It's used more as a dramatic device for the story than anything else.
What'd you do for stunts?
For stunts, I gave it 3 out of 5, too. Same thing. The stunt work is really good. You know, there's a couple of great scenes where Skylykins is getting thrown around by, like, guys left and right. But, again, there's no standout stunt work beyond the fact that, like, it's Skylykins doing his own stunts, most likely, you know? Like, but there's no scene where I was like, oh, wow, like, he really gets, like, I don't know, throw off a car or something like that. Like, it's all kind of generic. Again, throwing into walls, breaking stuff over people's heads, things like that.
Yeah, I agree. Most of the stunt work in the movie is actually done by Scott Atkins. He's the one getting thrown through everything.
You can see it too. Like, you see it's him. Like, that's the thing.
He takes a decent beating in this one.
No, he does. And that's kind of part of the joke behind it too, is that, like, he gets getting his ass kicked. But, like, he wins, but, like, he still gets beat up pretty bad.
Like, even in the bar fight, he gets thrown everywhere.
Oh, yes.
But, so Scott Atkins himself, everyone else, all the stunts in the movie by everyone else is pretty good, too. But just for Atkins, it gets a 3 out of 5. He takes a hell of a beating in this movie.
He does. And it looks good on screen. It looks good on camera. Yeah. Like, oh, they look legit.
I gave the special effects also a 3 out of 5, because everything breaking, everything's practical. Everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even the shootouts, all squib work. No bullshit CGI. Mm-hmm. The guns are all blanks. The smoke coming out of them.
Yes.
So I think I love practical effects. It gets a 3 out of 5 for me.
Yeah, I gave it a 3 out of 5 too, only because the stunt work is so good, and like how they combine the stunt work with the practical effects of, like, breaking things, breaking walls, and then just throwing themselves into everything. Like, it looks real and it feels real. There's nothing about this movie feels fake, and that has to do with special effects. So yeah, for 3 out of 5.
I gave the chase scenes a 2 out of 5 because I thought it was really funny watching Scott Atkins get hung from a car.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought, and then when he gets shot, like, when they're shooting at him and he's, like, whining and throwing a bitch fit. I was like, all right, I'll give it a 2 out of 5. I thought that was funny.
No, it is funny. It hit him kind of out of his element. I give it a two out of five. It's like, it's there. It's not horrible, but it's not like, it's an action. It's like a chase scene, but like, it's just not like, it's just funny to see Scott Adkins there doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's interesting about it. It's not like.
Which is another big stunt by Adkins hanging from the car. It's him.
Yes, exactly. It's him. It's almost like a novelty shot scene.
Yeah.
Like,
almost
like comedic relief to a point, right? But it's still fun though. It's still a fun scene.
But there's no like actual like big car chase or even a Bigfoot chase. It's just a little chase that happens in like, I think it's the first one they go to get, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he chases the two guys.
Yeah,
one and then he's the other guy. Yeah.
But yeah, like basically what happens, they stop one of them, the other guy's running, and the other guy just turns around, starts firing a gun at him, and then he jumps on the car, and like, he's hanging out like the car window, and the car's like dragging him along the floor. But he looks like he's kind of like skiing. It just made me laugh. I was like, this is so goofy.
Exactly. It's goofy. Yes.
So overall, I gave the movie a 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I gave it 3 out of 5 too. And again, we're judging this by action, an action film. Yeah, you know, it's a movie. It's a pretty good movie.
But even as a movie, I still would give it a 3 out of 5. I think it's a middle of the ground, decent, fun flick to watch.
Yeah, I guess I liked it more than most of as a movie. I liked it more than Scott Adkins' other films as a film.
Yeah,
you know, he had better other action films than this one. But as a movie, I just enjoyed his charisma with the other main character in it. I thought it was fun. It was entertaining. It wasn't boring, and it wasn't overly cliche like a lot of these action movies are, where like you know what's going to happen. Like at least this one kind of had me interested in what was going to happen next. It wasn't like I wasn't already knowing the bad guy's going to show up at the end or this guy's going to betray you. Like it actually had me going to the very end too, which I liked about it.
So everyone knows, Tony Todd does no action in this movie.
No, he doesn't get down.
No, he doesn't. That fist fight got cut.
Yeah.
That was the only kung fu fight in the movie.
Tony Todd kung fu fighting with Scott Adkins somewhere.
Yeah, just going at it.
I would love to see that, by the way.
So what's your first similar movie?
First similar movie is Training Day. There's a Washington and
Storyline-wise. Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke, yeah. Very similar, just because same thing. Ethan Hawke plays a rookie detective who Denzel Washington takes under his arm to, like, for a day to, like, train him as, like, I guess his predecessor or his partner. But, of course, you know, Ethan Hawke sees that Denzel Washington is kind of corrupt, and it kind of, you know... Ethan Hawke finds that Denzel Washington is kind of corrupt and has to kind of contend with, like, is he going to be corrupt? Is he going to turn him in? Like, kind of what's going to happen? But it's a suspenseful thriller. It's more than an action film. It has a couple of action scenes in it, but it's just a great overall movie.
Definitely no comedy in it.
There's a couple of funny parts, but it's not meant to be funny.
Shit that comes out of Denzel Washington's mouth is funny.
It's hilarious, but it's not meant to be funny.
Meant to be funny. It's just funny because Denzel's saying it.
Yes.
And a lot of them became memes.
Yes. Yep.
My first one's Bulletproof with, was that Adam Sandler?
Bulletproof
and...
Monk? Oh, no, yeah.
No, Bulletproof Monk, definitely not Bulletproof Monk. That's for a whole other podcast.
It's a whole podcast, yes.
But it's Adam Sandler or what? Keenan Ivory Wayans or Damon Wayans?
Damon Wayans.
Yes. And basically one of them's a cop and one of them's a criminal and he accidentally shoots Damon Wayans in the ass or something.
Yes.
And years later, he has to escort him. Damon Wayans, the cop, has to escort Adam Sandler. Mm-hmm. And then basically, you know, hijinks ensue.
Yes, yeah. I think people are trying to kill Adam Sandler. Is that what it is? I think he's being hunted or something.
Yes. And he has to protect him.
He has to protect him, yes. Yeah. That's the whole thing.
And while he's escorting him to like another place or something. But
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is actually a pretty funny movie. It's pretty funny.
Yes, it is. It's actually pretty funny.
Adam Sandler's at his like lowest tolerance that you can tolerate him.
Because Keenan Ivory Wayans kind of like
mellows him out.
Yeah, like that helps balance him out a bit. He's not doing his like.
Don't forget, this is '90s Adam Sandler.
He's not doing his Billy Madison impressions the whole movie. Yeah,
it's like, no, you're not doing that in this movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you do voice where you go like, no, that doesn't happen.
There's no Hanukkah songs with your guitar, buddy. So, you
can't do it.
Yeah.
Imagine a whole movie with him just doing that.
I mean, movie. I'm gonna say some of his movies are like a little.
I meant like an action film of him just,
be pretty funny though.
Don't shoot me, please. Don't shoot me.
But it's full of action though.
It's just like crazy. Like,
it would be
crazy
pretty
action.
I'd be interested in seeing that if nothing.
Like Bad Boys 2 car chases and.
But it's him in the backseat doing that stupid voice.
Him in the backseat doing that stupid voice.
Will Smith's like, you shut the fuck up.
Yeah, Will Smith.
You don't know how far it may go.
Barlow's like, oh no! Shut up in the back!
This white boy back here. White
bread in the back, won't be quiet.
It's like it's a remake of the first one, Bad Boys, but instead of them protecting the hooker, they have to protect Adam Sandler, though.
It's Adam Sandler making believe he's Mike Lowry.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my god. Yeah. As they say, he's like, hey, I'm Mike Lowry.
Hey, I'm Mike Lowry. I turned it off right away.
No. I think a spoof trailer or something.
What's your second one?
My second one is The Rundown with The Rock and Sean William Scott, the great movie out. So The Rock is kind of like, he's not a debt collector, but he's sort of like a fixer or something.
I guess he's a fixer and he gets hired by like a guy to go get his son back.
His son, like the Amazon, but his son's there kind of like looking for a relic.
Yeah, it's a type of artifact, yeah.
And of course the town that's there is enslaved, literally enslaved by Christopher Walken's character, his evil like miner who just enslaves the town to like mine for gold and mine for diamonds and everything. And of course The Rock and Sean William Scott get in the middle of this whole dispute that he's having with the people.
I think Rosario Dawson's in it too.
Rosario Dawson in it too. She plays like a cantina like bar owner or something like that.
Who's helping the rebels.
She's
like,
helping the resistance
organize,
like, rise up against. And again, it's a really simple
story. It's the action scenes that make that movie great.
The action scenes are amazing.
Peter Berg directed that.
And it came out like in 2007 or something, and it still holds up to this day.
It's so good.
It's great car chase scenes. It's great action scenes, set pieces, like action scenes, everything.
Has the best tooth fairy story you'll ever hear.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's a tooth fairy. It takes your tooth and gives you a quarter.
Yeah. He's like, it's not too much complicated than that. Christopher Walken is amazing in this movie, too.
Yeah, he really
is.
He's
fantastic. He's great.
When she gives him the finger and he's like, oh, if I was 2 minutes younger.
Yeah, he goes, oh, if I was only 10 years younger.
Oh, 10 years younger. I was like, oh, yo, Christopher Walken is owning this.
He doesn't miss a beat. He's great.
But my second one was Rush Hour, only because it has the whole mismatched, you know, buddy thing going on and the martial arts in the movie.
Yes.
Because most of these buddy cop movies don't actually have martial arts in them.
Not straight up martial arts.
Yeah.
No.
And Rush Hour is one of them that does.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it in with this one. So I figured, you know, the martial arts and the whole buddy interactions, it's similar. It's not as graphic, obviously, as Debt Collector. Debt Collector obviously would have been rated R if it came out.
Yeah, it's a PG-13,
There's boobies and stuff in Debt Collector. Doesn't have that in Rush Hour.
Mm-hmm.
There's nudity
in
the Debt Collector. No Jackie Chan in a panda thong, whatever the hell you wear.
No, that would have been a hard R rating.
No, it's a hard. Well, First Strike, I guess, is a hard R rating then.
Right. I'm pretty sure it's PG-13, but some of these movies that do come overseas and they're PG-13. Like he usually makes very family friendly films. It's rare that he ever makes like a more mature.
I mean, except Rumble in the Bronx. Rumble in the Bronx is violent as hell.
Rumble in the Bronx has like nudity in it also.
Yeah, and it's extremely.
So that's rated. I think that's rated R because it's violent. It's like really violent, that movie. Some scenes. But
and like people die in like gory ways, like they cut people's bodies up. The guys that threaten the other gang, like Rumble in the Bronx is like a hard R.
It's dark. It's a dark movie. It's like it's weird because it's kind of filmed like a lighthearted movie, but
especially the beginning when he first gets to America.
Yes, but it's a dark film though when you watch it, like all of it.
So that's our review for The Debt Collector. So hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next week.
Until next time, guys.